Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. Back in 1968, yes, that was 35 years ago, the noted theater critic Clive Barnes went to see the play Hair, and he wrote, "The four-letter words, the frankness regarding bodily functions, the nudity, the acceptance of adolescent drug-taking, the anti-establishment attitudes, the mockery of patriotism, these are not the normal ingredients of a Broadway play." But he did go on to say that the play was fun and liberating and beguiling. He praised it for its great freshness and innocence. And given that the flash of flesh in Hair was accepted back in the late 1960s, one might expect it to pass almost unnoticed these days. Not so. A summer production of the same play, planned for Provincetown on the tip of Cape Cod, ran into a municipal law against such nudity, and people ready to speak out against the dropping of drawers 2 days ago, the town settled the matter. The musical Hair will go ahead, nudity included. But Connection listeners, it got us thinking, what's changed in American attitudes towards nudity? And we'd like your thoughts on that. Is it any more acceptable today than it may have been 30 or 80 years ago? Or perhaps are we more private or shy or squeamish than our parents or even our grandparents? And what do American attitudes about getting naked reveal about the nation's moral barometer? Pick up the phone. No one knows what you're wearing on the radio. Our number is 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We're going to start today by getting caught up on the latest from Provincetown. Barbara Rushmore is with us. She argued against the nude scenes. Howard Birchman's also on the line. He's president and chair of the Provincetown Theatre Company. And Howard, if I can start with you briefly, why did you want to put on the play Hair in the first place?
Well, actually, it was interesting. When we first thought about, made our decisions back in the winter, the war in Iraq was in full swing, and we were really attracted to the anti-war nature of the musical, and we thought that we wanted to revive the notion of the protest spirit. As you mentioned at the start, the nude scene was so small in it, we really didn't pay any attention whatsoever. And we're kind of surprised when that surfaced as the big issue of controversy in this town.
But you did want the play to be provocative.
I think that that's what the creators wanted it to be. So we wanted to give a real frank revival of what it is that they were setting out to do 35 years ago.
And Barbara Rushmore, are you disappointed that the town has decided the production of Hair will go ahead with its nude scenes included?
No, I am not. I'm delighted. I was one of the instigators of our bylaw, and what it was meant to keep out was the sort of people that would go to see strip teasers and peep shows.
So you're not against this particular play in any way?
I think it's a little dated, and I think that it was a little provocative. We've had a lawsuit against the people who put on a show ostensibly called theater in their nightclub, The Crown and Anchor. And it's been in the news, and I felt...
That's the Naked Boys singing that you're referring to?
Yes, that's the name of it. I've forgotten it. It was not memorable like Hair.
Did you go see it?
Yes, of course.
And will you go to see Hair?
No.
Why?
Been there, done that.
Howard Birchman, tell me what happened, how the decision was made. There was a great deal of shouting and yelling and flashing of body parts at the town council?
You mean the decision made to allow us to continue to present the show as it
right.
should be? Well, actually, once again, we were fortunate we were able to call up the 911 when your civil liberties are at stake. We got the great assistance from the Massachusetts chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union. Mm-hmm. And basically, we're able to find a legal way for us to go forward with the show. I mean, I think the thing that's interesting about Hair is most people, Barbara included, don't really want to stop this particular production. That's both the benefit and the weakness, if you will, because we think that it is a fundamental right of expression, not just for an innocent show like Hair, but any show, Naked Boys singing, any kind of a thing. And I think that the Hair is kind of a poster child. It really pulls us down this slippery slope. If you say this is okay, then what exactly is it that's not okay with other performances that involve nudity?
Now, you've been in rehearsals. Are you finding that the script and the story and the play is as provocative in terms of at least delivering that anti-war message that you had in mind back in the winter when you thought of putting it on?
Well, we're hoping it will be. Obviously, we are just rehearsing, and it's not gone before the public yet. But we're hoping that we want to stimulate discussion, and obviously we stimulated some around nudity. Clearly, with all the news that continues to come out of Iraq, there are many more issues to discuss than simply nude display.
I want the two of you to stay with me, if you will, for just a moment, because I'd like to bring Jennifer Warnes into the conversation. Jennifer is an Oscar and Grammy-winning actor and singer who happened to play the lead in the Los Angeles production of Hair in 1969. Did I get that right, Jennifer?
That's right.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Now, when you were getting ready to do that play, was there much conversation about whether or not the actors would take their clothes off?
When we signed the contract to be in the play, it was if you wanted to do it, you did. If you didn't, didn't matter. It wasn't in the contract.
And what were people saying about it at the time? What was the company saying? Was it sort of ho-hum, or was it a pretty big deal?
Some actors wanted to, and some didn't, and we were pretty much split down the middle. It was the way the nude scene was presented in 1969 was very shadowed in the dark, and the message it gave to the audience was, we are all one, we're all glorious and plain, you know, we're all the same. And the reason for that statement, and it was very brief, was because right about the same time, boys of our same age, 18 and 19, had in 4 hours killed about 500 people, women and children in My Lai, and we saw pictures of bodies and bodies and bodies in Newsweek, and we were trying to say, what is a human body, and is it the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the natural foods movement was moving strongly in Los Angeles at the time.
So Jennifer, just to go back to that moment, it was more about the anti-war than it was about, gosh, do I want to take my clothes off on stage?
Very, very much so. It was about, can't you see we're all the same? It wasn't, look at my, you know, great body. In fact, Dr. Cooper hadn't even coined the word aerobics yet. So it wasn't about showing ourselves off or enticing. It was really desperately trying to say to our very own age kids, peers, my boyfriend went to Vietnam, can't you see that we're being innocently used in something? And I think the great untold story of my generation is the stories behind the draft and who did and who didn't go and why.
Just stay with me for half a second, if you will, Jennifer. I want to go back to Howard Birchman in Provincetown and just ask Howard whether or not you're surprised that 35 years after some of those same issues were being discussed and the nudity seemed less of an issue, it's still something that people want to talk about today.
Well, I think it is. In a way, it's shocking, but I mean, I guess there's a reason why this is the First Amendment to the Constitution, and that freedom of expression is kind of a timeless topic for this republic, and one that we're never going to fully escape. And it's just from time to time that it resurfaces, as it has done in this town.
Barbara Rushmore, tell me, in your view, how our attitudes about nudity have changed, whether or not you'd have argued against, you know, the Jennifer Warnes production the way you argued against this one.
We put in a anti-nudity on stage or in, you know, performances of different sorts because we felt that we wanted to keep our town a community. It's almost 100% against people walking the streets bare-assed. It's almost 100% against having strip teasers or peep shows.
Right.
And it's difficult to write a law that prohibits behavior that you don't like and we don't like.
So did it work out properly this time around, where you've got a law that may prevent the kind of activity that you don't want to have in Provincetown, but someone like Howard can go to town council and make his case and get the play approved?
We all tried to write it in a proper way. One of our thoughts was to keep it where liquor wasn't sold, you know, like theaters sometimes have wine, but no hard liquor. Whereas the profit for showing nudity on the stage, for strip teasers, naked boys singing, and peep shows, too, attract people who are not the sort of people that we want to have in a town where people come with children, where we have children who live here, where older people walk the streets safely at night, and they don't have public displays of violence either.
Barbara, let me just stop you there, because the reference to children, I think, is an important one, and a place where I can bring Jennifer back into the conversation. Jennifer, would you, for example, today, take a niece or a nephew, a 12, 14-year-old, to see a production of Hair? I mean, you talked about it as being this celebration of the human body, something quite innocent back in the late 60s. Are we still there?
Absolutely not. The degradation of the human body has been on it's been slowly declining for the last 35 years. Not only, just child porn and the way that the science has created things that are making us sicker and sicker, the way the buildings are making us sicker and sicker.
But what does
bodies
that have to do?
Bodies are being degraded.
Yeah.
So
what does that have to do, though, with the type of performance we're talking about? And someone said to you, would you, do this again? You're saying you wouldn't do it again, right?
No, because the way people think, people don't have innocence in their heads anymore.
Or respect, is that part of it? Respect for the body?
But respect for the body is not necessarily at a strip joint.
No, I get that. I'm just saying that when you say people don't have innocence, they've also lost that type of celebratory respect that existed back in the late 60s?
Yes, I think that's true.
Howard, you wanted to get in here.
Well, yeah, Dick. I mean, I think the question to be asked is, what is it that we are protecting ourselves against by passing ordinances such as the one we have in Provincetown? I mean, are we really... clearly, no one is in favor of child pornography. No one is in favor of predators attacking children. But are we really suggesting that the presence of nudity on stage is leading to any of those kinds of behaviors? And if we really want to protect ourselves from these kinds, I mean, our current ordinance stops any live nudity from happening within 500 feet of a school, 500 feet of a church. I mean, if you look at the crime statistics on child molestation, you probably should say there shouldn't be a church within 500 feet of a school, for
God's
sake.
Isn't it interesting, though, Howard, that we have a conversation about nudity today and we do end up talking about molestation and concerns about it that weren't a part of this conversation back in the 60s?
Well, I think it is interesting, but I'm not exactly sure what it's based on. I don't think that there's any evidence whatsoever that would suggest that there's any relationship between the presence of a theatrical presentation of nudity and any of these unacceptable social behaviors. And I'm not sure there's any evidence that strip clubs lead to that either.
No, I mean, I'm not saying there is. I'm just saying that it's notable.
Yes.
There's so many great paintings of nudity that we don't consider pornographic. So the problem is not nudity itself. The human body, we all carry one around. I mean, it's quite an innocent thing. Ask any baby. But the problem here is what's in your mind when you think about it. You can't legislate that. But what is in our minds about bodies? I mean, I was a part of a movie called Dirty Dancing, which was far more salacious than Hair.
Jennifer, I have to stop you there because we need to take a break. I want to thank you for being with us on the program today.
Thank you.
Jennifer Warrens and Howard Birchman and Barbara Rushmore, thank you so much for your thoughts this morning. Nice to hear from you both. Connection listeners, are the people you know squeamish or relaxed about nudity? How do these attitudes reflect changes in America today? 1-800-423-8255. This is The Connection. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio. And Connection listeners, we are joined now to talk about changing American attitudes towards nudity by Mark Story. Mark is a naturist. That's a synonym for a nudist. He's also written a book about nudist film. And Mark, if I'm right, you've been skinny dipping since you were a skinny little kid. Is that right?
Pretty much. Out in the mountains, swimming, fishing, catching lures on rocks, jumping in the water naked to get them. Don't want to get those shorts wet.
You want to be careful of swimming around with a lure in your hand.
Well, that too, yes.
You had a chance to listen in on the different perspectives of what's going on in Provincetown. But as you heard at the end, I want to try and swing this around to a better understanding of what it is that may have changed or not changed in terms of American attitudes toward nudity, because it struck me as odd that that Provincetown would be having the debate, and I'm interested in figuring out a little bit more about it. You teach philosophy too, don't you?
Yeah, Bellevue Community College here in Washington State.
So help us a little bit with this.
Well, obviously it's a complex thing, but there seem to be a couple different trends going on. One towards acceptance of nudity, one opposed to it. And the one opposed to it, I see, is coming largely from the 80s. There's kind of a moral conservatism that's taken the country, for good or for bad. And a lot of people are standing up and saying, hey, I just don't want, not so much nudity in theater or in arts. They don't want nudity on the beaches. They don't want nudity out in the private nudist camps outside the town. On the other hand, national polls are showing that people are becoming very acceptive, kind of libertarian, if you will, regarding the rights of others to enjoy stuff like that.
Does that mean that the argument or the fight for a nude beach is perhaps not as important as it used to be, because someone could go to one end of the beach or the other and take off their clothes and lie down in their towel?
Well, you've hinted at it exactly what I think is a major point. That's the population boom. 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago, plenty of wild areas. I could leave, say, Seattle. In 30 minutes, I would find a lake, a beachfront area, no problem. Since I wasn't causing a problem, no one was getting offended, the cops didn't bother with it. Now, with the population growing like crazy, there are simply no wild areas, very few of them, to find for these beaches. And the naturists are getting pushed further and further out into the boondocks. Mothers with children are showing up, and not knowing that for decades there's been people quietly skinny dipping at this location and going, whoa, I didn't know that was there. They called a ranger, and the ranger now feels compelled to respond. So the population, I think, is really making it more awkward to find nude beaches. Although there are ones, and there are plenty on the West Coast, except for Washington State for the most part. But there's some, it's very popular. As I say, the 2000 Roper poll, national poll, indicates that at least over 50% of the people, 80% actually, are in favor of having a clothing optional nude beach, as long as it's signed, so people don't have to be offended if they stumble onto it.
I want to get some of our callers in the conversation, because we have a number of questions about this. But just before we do that, tell me why it is that you like to sunbathe, walk around
sure.
without a pair of shorts on.
This is my favorite answer, and it works for me. I ask people, do you like to go swimming? And everybody says yes. And I say, would you rather go swimming in a bathing suit or a full suit of clothes? And everybody says, well, obviously the bathing suit. Well, the full suit of clothes is to the bathing suit, as the bathing suit is to skinny dipping. That one little piece of cloth just really feels nice. And that is the most shallow answer I can possibly give. It simply feels nice. On a more fundamental level, a more philosophical level, if you will, I listen to Vincent Bethel in England, and the guy, I think, is completely right when he says, I'm a human being, and it's not a bad thing to be a human being. I not only want to be a human being, I want to be able to appear fully human to at least some people in some kind of social context. There's nothing wrong with being a human. There's nothing wrong with appearing as a human.
But you don't just swim naked. You hike naked. You ski naked.
I like being outdoors. I do a lot of kayaking, and my wife and I get outside, and kayaking's easy. You can get out by yourself very easily. I have no desire to be in people's faces. I think there's a huge difference between an exhibitionist who should just be pummeled and someone who just simply wants to be a human being and enjoy themselves. Skiing, cross-country skiing out in the backwoods, it taught me not to fall. I mean, you do not want to fall on the snow when you're buck naked. And I've had a few humorous situations running into people. People usually kind of smile, look at me like I'm an insane guy. My wife says, yes, he is indeed insane, and there hasn't been a problem.
But help me understand, and take the question in the spirit in which I ask it.
Sure,
if you're
sure.
out on the cross-country ski trail, and there's people who are skiing by you in the other direction fully clothed, then aren't you doing a little bit of exhibiting anyway?
I'm not going to be skiing in those situations.
Okay.
I'm out cross-country, backcountry skiing.
Yeah.
So the chances of my running into people are minuscule. I'm not going to be going down the alpine slopes, slashing people. That just really wouldn't be appropriate. But it would be appropriate to have laws tolerant enough to allow people to sunbathe in their backyard if they take, say, appropriate precautions to keep the kids from next door from seeing. People to have, if there was a 1,000-mile stretch of beach along a coastline, 150 yards could be set aside as clothing optional, where it's patrolled by police normally, so we don't have any lewd behavior. That would be appropriate. That would be the mark of a civilized state. Oregon, on our coast, has official nude beaches. California has officially sanctioned nude beaches.
Right.
British Columbia does. Washington, of course, does not.
Well, let's find out whether or not they have those sorts of beaches in Durham, North Carolina, because we're going there next. Kathy's on the phone. Hi, Kathy.
How are y'all doing?
I'm fine, thank you. What do you think about all this?
Well, I called in because back in 70 or 71, I went to a huge rock and roll concert, and I was, you know, 17 or 18 at the time, and there were thousands of people there, and it was one of these 2 or 3 day events, and a girlfriend of mine and I had, you know, had our clothes on the entire time, but it was hot, and we decided that we wanted to go to the river that was running through this concert and just jump in. And I can't tell you how wonderful it was to just be able to pull off our clothes and jump in this water. And the other part about it is that we weren't afraid. There was never any kind of aggressive behavior towards us. People shouted and screamed, and everybody was shouting and screaming and having a good time, but we never felt that anyone was going to try to approach us in any sort of inappropriate ways, and they didn't. And I think that what's changed over the years is that, like, I have a daughter who's 20 now, and I worry that if she were to do something like that, given the current level of aggression that we seem to have in this country, that she couldn't do that safely. Whereas back, you know, when I was her age, it was just a completely different mindset, and I, in fact, not only could do it safely, I did do it safely, and I had a grand time doing it.
Is there more aggression today, in your view, Kathy, or is it just a greater fear of aggression?
I mean, I'm a social worker, and I work in the domestic violence field, and I think that there absolutely is much, much, much more aggression now, and I think that there's also, I mean, I'm not sure where it all comes from. I think it's very complicated, but I just know that, like, I hitchhiked from North Carolina to where this concert was many states away, and I wasn't afraid as I hitchhiked.
You wouldn't let your daughter do that today?
No, absolutely not.
Mark, what about the idea that the people who don't want to take their clothes off, or let's put it exactly in Kathy's terms, whether or not there is more aggression. Do you see any of that in your life?
I haven't found a single bit of it. She may be right, and the people she's working with, she'll be in a better position to know what society in general is like regarding aggression. I've gone hiking, as I say, for 20 years, oftentimes naked, with my wife, with friends, by myself. I have simply never run across any aggression whatsoever. Granted, I'm a guy. I'm a 6'3" guy, so you know, no one's going to try to beat me up, perhaps. Mm-hmm. But I've gone with other people who are small, who perhaps could face that. Generally speaking, if your attitude is good, you're not looking furtive, you're not looking like you're some creepy guy, you're just enjoying yourself, people walk by, smile, saying, gosh, I wish I had the nerve to do that, or, yeah, it's really a hot day, isn't it? I haven't run across that, whether I'm mountain biking, skiing, hiking, kayaking, whatever. But again...
It is a different story for children.
It may be
a different story for young women.
I am not encouraging a child or a young woman or anyone to go walking down the street in some violent part of town naked. That would just be stupid. I wouldn't encourage people to be doing this on a popular trail where they might be seriously offending a whole bunch of people. And that's just, there's no point in that. But there's just thousands of opportunities in your backyard, out in the wilderness, in various areas on isolated beaches where you can just enjoy some skinny dipping, some sunbathing. If that's what you like, I and my friends have simply not found a problem with it. I'm talking from the Nature Society, which has 25,000 members, American Association for Nude Recreation, which claims 50,000 members or so. There's a lot of people out there who enjoy this kind of thing, and it just be smart.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Kathy. Our number is 1-800-423-8255 to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Patrick's with us. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, Tom. Hey, I think I'm about 5 minutes back in the conversation, but I think Jennifer made some really good points in regards to, what constitutes a body in this culture, and also the context of nudity, you know, within our cultures.
You think it's changed a lot?
Well, sure. I mean, in many ways, I kind of feel that, the body in many ways has become sort of a site of commodity of sorts. In other words, say, for example, you can't have a proper contextualized nude body in, theater or on TV, but the problem is then you can turn around and have all the Terminator showings of Terminator 2 when people are getting dismembered, or the other thing is that you've got Stripperella, Baywatch, in which, you've got a real objectified sort of commodified sort of body, and, female.
Patrick, things have changed, I mean, in that time, the fuss has come and gone about Jimmy Smith's bare backside on television.
And of course.
I'm just wondering whether or not, at the time when some of that may be more allowable in mainstream film, the public attitudes about it are hardening to a point where a tolerance just for, you know, people who want to walk nude in a park is tougher now. It's harder for those people than it might have been 30 years ago.
Sure. I think part of it is the population thing that was just mentioned. And also the other thing is I think that there's, you know, a cultural context that's, you know, really problematic in regards to, you know, the rise of fundamentalism and the neocons and, our current, media culture. It makes it really, you know, quite problematic in, you know, what we consider as acceptable. And
I remember, what was it, last year, I guess, 2002? No, it was actually back in 2001 when John Ashcroft made news by insisting that a big, heavy curtain be put across the Great Hall of the Justice Building because there was a naked breast that was appearing.
Yeah, yeah, him. And I mean, I'm a fine artist myself, and I mean, actually, to tell you the truth, in a recent performance art venue here in Baton Rouge, I actually did a nude performance myself. You know, part of it was nude, and I didn't get any death threats or anything. But of course, what goes on is the fact that what happened is that the show was well contextualized. It said that there was going to be strong content, and people went in, they paid money to go in and, you know, see this thing in which they knew what they would probably be getting, you know, and it was well within the context of the performance. And to be perfectly honest, you know, I mean, I was perfectly comfortable with that.
And the audience, because they knew what they were getting, were also perfectly comfortable with it.
Well, you know, sure. I mean, with some of the content, there was, you know, there were some misgivings by some of the audience, but they knew pretty much what they were getting. So, you know, in other words, the fact that if you have something that has flashing lights saying that, yes, there's going to be nudity in there, so don't go in and get shocked by, you know, if there's going to be nudity.
All right, Patrick, thanks a lot for your call.
Thank you.
Mark?
We'd want to keep in mind that nudity in public and in the arts wasn't like a glorious golden age back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, or 60s where everybody could walk around the park naked. We were never able to do that.
But you, doesn't nudism go back to the 30s?
The late 1920s, early 30s.
Yeah.
The very early 30s in New York, in particular, when American society first noticed that there were these nudists floating around, they were perceived as kind of quirky health nuts. This came out of Germany, out of Switzerland, tying in with heliotherapy, various back-to-nature movements. By the mid-30s, various religious groups, and it's a Catholic group for the most part at that point, started thinking that it was a bad thing, a morally bad thing. And you start having laws being passed, a McCall Dooling bill in New York in the mid-30s, outlawing all nudity in New York. And just, you know, as soon as a nudist became better known, people knew these places were out there, that nudist camps out in the suburbs, or not the suburbs, but outside in the rural areas, we find a lot of laws against that. And as far as the theatrical nudity, artistic nudity, we can go, you know, throughout our entire history this past century and find people saying, no, you can't possibly show a nude painting in a school, or you can't possibly have this book describing nakedness. So it's not like we've got this ultra-conservatism now.
Well, spin us ahead to the time then after 1968, 1969. Was there a retrenchment of values, for example, in the 80s when Reagan was president?
I think so. I think they tapped a moral chord in the country. A lot of people were thinking, wait a second, it's now okay for me to stand up and say, here's my moral belief, and I want to be politically active and force that moral belief on people. And it became an okay thing to do, and I think we're still living in that. I teach at college, and the young people today, this is a grotesque generalization, but they are very concerned about body acceptance, about their bodies. And men so more, almost more than women. Women have been battling this for billions of years. Mm-hmm. Men are now starting to worry about back hair and balding and putting perfume on and whatnot, not taking showers in school for fear that, God forbid, somebody see them. And it's really getting quite strange. Even talking about nakedness, it just makes them very uncomfortable. And I think one or two callers back had it right on the head. That is, the media, movies in particular, have now branded nudity in people's minds with sexuality and, to a lesser extent, with violence. And nudity means sexuality. And if I want to be sexually attractive, and I'm worried about my body, I have some serious concerns. I'd be having some serious concerns with that.
1-800-423-8255 is our number. You can call us there. Let's go to Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Jimmy's on the line. Hi, Jimmy.
Hi. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, what's up?
I have a beautiful 5-year-old daughter, and just recently she's been coming out of her age of like primal innocence, and she's becoming very aware of her own body and her place in society at large. And now she's having naked issues. They seem to be more imposed by society than by us, because we have always told her that her body is beautiful and that.
So is this, I don't want you in the bathroom when I'm having a bath, daddy,
yeah,
type nakedness?
Exactly.
Issues?
Stuff like that is starting to happen. And it's not a norm in the house. Naked is normal in the house, and has been for her. But I think she's starting to realize that the body is something that you cover. She's learning that from society at large. It's something that you
try to be more specific. From society at large. I mean, she's five. You know where she is. Is she getting this at school? Is she getting it from friends? What do you think?
Well, she's homeschooled. She hasn't spent like any time in any sort of institutionalized environment.
Right.
But we're out in the community. I just think that it is, you know, everybody has clothes on. Everybody has clothes on. And there's only special times, you know, when you are able to show your privates.
Mm-hmm.
And it's ingrained in our society. And I think what one of the guests or callers said earlier, that somehow we, at least as adults, attribute nudity with sexuality. Or it's not necessarily that same issue for kids who are growing up, but they get all the benefits of those, you know, thoughts from us adults, because we're all, you know, we're covered. All of us are covered.
And nudity in popular media is almost always associated with sexuality. And
absolutely.
Maybe even a five-year-old is picking that up.
Oh, yeah. When it's that deeply ingrained at a young age, I wonder if it's something society's ever going to get over. I mean, the Bible told us that we had to cover ourselves to be basically ashamed of our naked bodies. It's gone back that far, and I think that, you know, just Western civilization in general.
All right, it's a great point.
Bodies.
Thanks for your call, Jimmy.
Thanks.
Connection listeners, our number is 1-800-423-8255. Is nudity in America in 2003 equated directly with sexuality? Is there a way of getting past that? Is America still caught in a situation where that equation is made? And Europeans, for example, can equate nudity with good health. And what's missing in the national DNA here, if in fact that's the case? We'd like to hear from you. Our number's 1-800-423-8255. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection from NPR. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio. We're talking about nakedness in America, beginning with the conversation about the musical Hair and reactions to that, and whether or not it teaches us something or tells us a bigger story about the way that American attitudes about the naked body have changed in the last 30 years. With me on the program, the editor-at-large of Nude and Natural magazine, Mark Story. He himself has been a nudist for the last 25 years, and he's also an instructor in philosophy in Seattle. He's with us in a studio there. Our number is 1-800-423-8255. Straight back to the phones now to Sanford, North Carolina. Ashley's joining us. Hi, Ashley.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. I just wanted to make a quick point.
Yep.
I'm actually very surprised that I'm hearing all this over the air, but the point I wanted to make was...
What are you surprised about, Ashley?
I'm just surprised at the fact that nudity is accepted.
You mean on a beach or in a movie or anywhere?
Anywhere, because the point I want to make is anybody can open up the Bible, and it will tell you in Jeremiah that nudity is an adultery, a lustful name, and shameless prostitution. And in Revelation, it says that it's sinful exposure. And it's a sin. And I have heard somebody say earlier that your body is a temple, and it is a temple. And you're defiling God's temple by showing people your nudity in that way, and it's something that should be shared between husband and wife, not for the whole world to see. And I would like to take my response off.
Can I ask you one question before you go, Ashley?
Yes.
What you had a chance to hear what Jimmy had to say about paying attention to his five-year-old daughter as she sort of switches out of that age of real childlike innocence to an awareness of her body. And how does that fit in terms of, you know, judging public attitudes towards nudity? I mean, if you've got a two-year-old child in a little puddle pool in the backyard and it's one of those hot summer days, is it a sin to let that child splash around in the pool with just family members there?
that is why they make children's bathing suits. I mean, I understand if you're in your backyard and nobody can see you and you have a privacy fence, but right. if you allow a small child to do that, then they're going to think that nudity is okay when they get older, and you're supposed to teach them right from the beginning
right.
what God's Word states and not allow them to do those things.
Ashley, thanks so much for your call.
Thank you.
I want to go, Mark, on the issue of religion and what it says about nudity, because if I'm not mistaken, you can also find pieces of the Bible that will argue that it's not a bad thing to be naked. And
yeah. I'd love to respond to that. And Ashley, you say you're going to take this offline. You can find my phone number and my email in New Natural Magazine. If you can convince me that the Bible says that I should keep my clothes on, I will never get naked again. I'm convinced, after multiple readings of the Bible does not say that nudity itself is bad. There are times when people are naked, talked about naked in the Bible, where they are persecuted, yes, and there are societies who make people take people's clothes off, and those societies are bad. But you're not going to find any passage. The two you mentioned are not going to say that nudity itself is bad. A caller a couple times ago said, made a remark that God, made us wear clothes. It never says that. What it does say in Genesis is that people, Adam and Eve, found themselves naked, and God provided them clothes, according to that particular passage. We might not want to ask ourselves who else was out there to see them naked. According to the story, it's only Adam and Eve. If we were to take the passage, that passage in Genesis that says that God wants them to wear clothes, that means that husbands and wives should not see each other naked, which is absurd. Therefore, the reason that God provided them clothes must have been something else. And we can ask ourselves why. Just read a few more passages. The story says that they go out of the garden, they're dealing with thorns, thistles, a real mess out there. It looks like God's mercy provided them some clothes. So when they needed it, when clothing was appropriate, then clothing was available. When clothing wasn't needed, not appropriate, God made them naked, and God said it was very good that they were naked.
Isn't it interesting, though, Mark, that when you do talk about nudity, public nudity, and that it frequently has a religious component on both
absolutely.
Sides, right?
Absolutely. If you just stick with Christianity, not even talking Judaism or Islam, you just talk about Christianity, certainly within church history, there has been a shift after early church period of movement towards clothing. The early baptisms were done nude. They were done publicly nude. The early church fathers were very concerned about the Roman baths. They thought, bad stuff going on there. We don't like that. So they encouraged the church to stay away from the baths. And nudity back then in the Roman period was becoming associated with vice, just the way it is with movies today. Nudity is associated with sexuality. So maybe the church said, fine, we want to be pure. We want to be godlike. So we're going to encourage people to stay away from the nudity, i.e. the Roman orgies and the right. baths and whatnot. But there is nothing in the Bible that says the body is itself bad.
All right, that's
good. I will not comment on the other kinds of other religions, though.
We're going to go back to the phone lines to Stowe, Massachusetts now, and Ev's joining us. Hi, Ev.
Hello, good morning. I'm a Franco-American, and I've lived in the States for 20 years,
uh-huh.
and I go to France in the summertime every summer. I have three teenagers who are in France right now. I just want to say that in France, when you go to the beach, you change on the beach. You just turn around, strip down, change. No big deal. But that's not at all okay to do that on American beach. But it's okay. I see in the high school, I see in the malls, on the street, I see girls with really tight shorts on and written juicy on their bottom or really offensive messages.
Uh-huh.
But that's okay. That's accepted socially. So I think that it's reached a point. I don't want to say that things are cooler in Europe, that I'm disturbed by, it seems that there are two ways, two measures, and I think that people should be allowed to do what they want.
One of the points you're making is that the use of clothes can be
very offensive, extremely offensive.
Sexualizing the body in a way that's
distorted. And that's really bothering me much more than seeing somebody naked. Sometimes you see somebody and you think, whoa, ugly bottom or whatever, but you don't care about it.
Ev, when you go to the beach in France, though, and strip down and change into your bathing suit, why do you bother putting a bathing suit on?
When I was younger, I used to put only a bottom.
Yeah.
Now I put a top because I'm older. I don't know. It's just, but some people don't wear anything.
Right.
If there's nobody on the beach, sure, it's great to swim naked. I go naked. It depends. But I don't really think about it. Where here you really have to think about what you need to do and what's socially appropriate. When my children were little, I used to take them to the Cape and let them run around naked. And I would say most people were accepting of it. Once in a while, somebody would come and say, can you please, I'd put underwear or whatever I had. But it's not, I think, in a way, in the States, you're making too much of a big deal about it. I think it should be accepted and people should, this is a free, very free country by many ways. So it's a non-issue. In a way.
Ev, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
I'd like to hear from Mark, just on Mark, the last point about how Americans do take their freedom so seriously.
Except when it comes to bodies. This woman is right on. Her experiences in France would probably be amplified if she went to Northern Europe, to South American beaches. You can go to beaches here in the United States, Black's Beach in California, Hollover Beach in North Miami Beach, Wreck Beach up in B.C. and in Canada. There's places where there are legal nude beaches, and she can experience that same freedom, and you'll find the crime rate has plummeted in some of these places.
But what's the difference? This is what we're trying to sort of nail
America,
in this program. What's the difference here?
I don't know. I would love to be able to have a one-sentence answer to that thing. We can talk about American movies, but they have movies in France. We can talk about Puritanism, but they have their own problems in Europe also. But there is a concern. There is an association with the body that is somehow sexual. And we are sexual beings, obviously, and I'm not obviously cannot possibly deny that. But I can go to a church. I can go to a school. I can go to a grocery store and find people attractive and still respect them as persons. I can also go to a clothing optional beach, and if I choose to go skinny dipping, I can see someone and respect that person as a person. I have the same moral parameters at a beach, at a hot spring, at a nudist camp, as I would at a grocery store, a church, or any place else. And somehow that there's a disconnect in America. That I think they simply not used to that kind of openness.
Right.
Certainly there's been skinny dipping. The Native Americans all the way to the farmers out in the, you know, plowing their fields and deciding to cool down.
I want
to something has changed.
Back to the phones quickly because we're getting a little short for time here to Boston. And Liz is joining us. Hi, Liz.
Hi. I'm going to try to be really quick.
Okay.
I'm an artist model. I grew up with naturalist parents in Maine. I've skinny dipped. And I've seen people's reaction to when I talk about nudity, when I just talk about my own job. And it's become, over the last 12 years, more and more of, oh, you really do that? And I think a lot of what's happening, we've touched on what's going on in the films, I think there's a definite change where bodies are becoming more commodified. We utilize bodies, we use sexuality to sell things. It's becoming so prevalent, people don't even realize it. The French woman, Franco-American, was talking about obscene things on clothing. I think that this is a movement that can be directly tied to media and sales and our economic system here in the United States.
Why is it any different today than it would have been, you know, watching a pin-up girl from the 1940s blow smoke rings at me? I mean, and that's there's a lot of cleavage. There's a lot of leg showing there, too, isn't there, Liz?
I don't know why. I think these questions are very complex, and I don't know why it's gone in this direction, but we definitely talked about the link between sexuality and violence. I don't think pinup girls were ever seen in some kind of violent, aggressive, I would love to attack her kind of position from the males who are viewing her.
Mm-hmm.
Not never. That's, you know, a generalization. But I think that today, there was another caller who was talking about that. I think that we have a much more aggressive approach to especially females, but not just females, males as well. And there's definitely an iconography of male beauty that's been created and being vaulted much more so than I think.
Are you any more or less comfortable doing the work that you do today than 10 years ago?
I am much more reticent to take a job with a private artist, because I don't know who it might be, so I have to get some kind of references. I want to sit down with them before we actually have a session where I'd be modeling for them alone.
Right.
That's been the only real change.
And it's going more in that direction rather than leading to a greater sense of comfort.
Yeah, definitely. There's definitely more of a feeling of I need to be on my toes in situations like that than I used to have when I was a little bit younger.
Thank you for your call, Liz.
No problem.
Mark.
Well, how about turning this around? How can we change that? Because I agree with her completely. She's amplifying these ties. How can we change that around? How can we get people to think that mere nudity, non-sexualized nudity, is not a bad thing, that our bodies are okay? I ran a couple jazz festivals a few years back, and we made them clothing optional. The bands were clothed, but the people could come, and about half the audience was nude, half the audience wasn't. Nothing happened. We advertised it all over the Seattle area. We got a little bit of media attention. Some people enjoyed the music. These were good bands. Nothing happened.
But is it a bad thing, Mark, if society goes through these cycles and if we're in a period where people are less comfortable taking off their clothes? I mean, do you think in a longer term and go, we'll be back to where we were in another, 10 or 20 years?
There probably will be a cycle, but that doesn't mean I can't take efforts to move that cycle along.
No, true enough. And I'm just wondering, I mean, there are fewer nudists today than there were.
I don't know about that. I doubt that. There are more people, again, just referring to these national polls. In 1983, 14.7%, according to a national Gallup poll, said they skinny dipped or went nude sunbathing with mixed company. Year 2000, it's gone up to 25%.
But if I go on a canoe trip, I'm going to skinny dip. But if I'm, on a beach somewhere, I may be less inclined to do that, and I don't consider myself a nudist.
But according to the national non-biased polls, it looks like more people are sunbathing or skinny dipping in mixed-gender company than ever before. So it looks like 25% of this country, of the adults in this country, apparently, according to the Roper poll, have gone skinny dipping, sunbathing in mixed-gender company. That's not counting all the guys who are just going with guys or all the gals going just with gals or people going by themselves. So it looks like there is a trend in the direction of acceptance on a personal level. This is contrasted with this kind of concern about being open, being outed as not just a naturist, that's just a name, but someone who enjoys skinny dipping. Mm-hmm. There does seem to be more people enjoying this, and for any number of reasons.
And you're saying
it's a good thing. Yeah. That's a good thing. There are limitations. I'm not wanting to just throw myself into somebody's face who doesn't want to be seeing it. But it's a big world. There's plenty of beach space. There's plenty of park space. And I think we should open up more parks, more beaches to clothing optional recreation.
Mark, thanks so much for being with us on the program today.
Thank you.
Mark Story is author of Cinema au Naturel, A History of Nudist Film. He was joining us from a studio in Seattle. We heard earlier from Howard Birchman, president of the Provincetown Theater Company, Barbara Rushmore, an activist in Provincetown, and the singer, songwriter, actor Jennifer Warrens. Connection listeners, to continue the conversation, you can go to our website. We are at theconnection.org, where you can find a forum page that allows you to talk further about this if you're interested in doing that. Our program's produced by Sean Carberry, Sarah Field, Elaine Grant, Orit Karitsky-Fox, Kelly Jones, Jennifer Mattson, Lindsay Miller, Christina Russo, and Doug Sugarts. Our senior producer is Tara Murphy. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection.